Welcome back to an all-new episode of Dirtcast. I am your co-host, Megan Reynolds.
And I'm the other co-host, Madeline Davies.
This week, we will be sitting down with Jezebel's senior writer, Rich Jezwiak, to talk about the continued ascension of gross-out reality TV shows of the vaguely medical variety. Dr. Pimple Popper, Botched, Trauma, Life in the ER, and many others.
It used to sort of aspire to this standard of beauty, but now I think the very obvious plastic surgery is like a status symbol in itself.
So, I mean, I think the happy note is like no one's going to be watching it, you know? This is like an easy way to learn about
in.
It.
Yeah.
Or learn. I'm going to use loose quotes around that.
Right.
And you don't have to see anything gross.
Yeah, you don't have to see anything disgusting, which is helpful. But before we do that, Maddie, how are you?
I took my cats to the vet yesterday.
How'd it go?
It was booster time.
Nice.
One of them, like, chews his own nails.
And which it turns one? Out,
Carl.
Orange or not orange?
Orange. Gotcha. Carl the orange cat. He, like, chews his own nails off and, like, had, like, infected his own toe.
Is he okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the most part. They were like, did you guys try to cut his nails?
Right.
And we were like, no, we wouldn't, like, I don't know. Because it was, like, really bad.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, no.
He really would not let us even try.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news of all of this is that the gray tabby, Lenny, he has a chronic boner problem.
Yeah, we've discussed his dong.
Yes. It's weird. He's neutered. But the slightest bit of stimulation, just like petting him on the head or like,
boop.
You know, his back, he just like will just bolt towards the nearest blanket.
To get at, work it out.
And then I'll just like really fuck it.
Yep. Cool. That's good.
And so the vet tech was like, do you have any other questions? And I was like, yeah, just like.
It's a casual cue.
Yeah, I was like, just wondering like about his like chronic boner situation. And she was like, well, you know, some cats just are really easily stimulated.
That's true.
She's like, maybe he's just a horny little dude.
Oh, that's nice.
That's how she put it.
That's his official diagnosis.
So, yes, his diagnosis is just a horny little dude. Can I tell you the grossest part of all of
please.
It?
Please.
Like, when I'm going to bed, when I'm, like, covering myself up, I just, like, want him to finish quickly. Because then he finally lays still. So there's this like,
oh my God,
this unwilling dance we do where he'll like put his paws on me.
No, no,
and then I scooch away.
No,
and then he puts his paws on me.
No.
And then I scooch away. And then I'm finally just like, just fucking do it.
Just like whatever you're going to do, just do it.
You know, like women everywhere, am I right?
Okay, cool. And now, alrighty.
But I just am like, just stop. Just like, just wrap it up.
Yeah.
So that
like, I'm
we
tired.
Can all go to bed.
Everyone here wants to sleep. We're just waiting for you.
Yes.
To
so
finish.
I know it's disgusting,
it's okay.
But also it is my lot in life currently.
It is.
Anyway, Megan, how are you?
I'm great. This weekend, one of my many sisters adopted the cutest puppy in the world.
Just like, we're just on like Petcast.
Yeah, Petcast. Her name is Mimi. She is a Chiweenie, which is a Chihuahua and a Dachshund. I just don't like the name Chiweenie.
A Chiweenie,
whatever. I just, she's a dog. She's very cute.
Megan, show me a picture. She has like big Dobby ears.
Yeah, she's got big ears like Dobby. One falls down more than the other. She's already torn apart a wubba and part of a squeaky sheep that looks like lamb chop.
What is a wubba?
A wubba is like this weird, like, it has a rubber ball in the middle of it and it's squeaky. And then it's got like it looks like a bunny.
Okay.
And then it has like tentacles. So they like, you can like play with them like that. I believe the wubba is deceased of now. R.I.P. That's enough of animal chat, recurring feature that everyone wants. I think we can get on to the stuff that people actually do desire, which is the dirtiest dirt.
The dirtiest dirt of the week. Yeah, it's the time to get a little bit dirty.
Mm. Here's a story that I think is crazy.
Truly the weirdest story of the week.
Let's set the scene. Elon Musk is dating Grimes.
Yes.
A strange pairing.
Yes.
Elon Musk is, you know, The man with spaceships and things.
Tesla.
Tesla. Grimes is a musician.
As you described as his tiny vampire girlfriend.
His small vampire girlfriend. She is a musician. This story also involves the rapper slash personality, Azalea Banks. Apparently, Azalea Banks was at Elon Musk's house this past weekend because she was going to record music with Grimes, which is something that she has been talking about for a while. She was Instagram storying like a lot of her time there. She was basically making it seem like neither Elon Musk or Grimes necessarily was there. So she was just there, just like—
She made it sound like she was like trapped in his home.
Because she compared it to sort of like a Get Out situation. And then she also said that Elon Musk tweets while he's on acid.
All just like strange things to just sort of—
Put out there. In a way. I mean, but Azalea Banks loves to put things out there.
Yes.
Is like the kindest way of saying it, I think.
She's a bit of a shit-stirrer.
Yeah, she's a shit-stirrer. So she did a bunch of Instagram stories. They were all very wild. Jezebel's sister site, Gizmodo, the tech blog, reached out to Elon on Twitter DMs to sort of corroborate, like, what the fuck, like, did this actually happen? Elon's response was essentially, I don't know her. Like, yeah. Literally, and then also probably in the larger sense, which is also crazy. She made some more Insta stories. She's talking about colonialism. She was talking about saying many rude things about the way Elon Musk looks. At one point, I believe she said it looks like he has pork skin.
I mean, to be fair, I feel like we all kind of have pork skin.
True.
Grimes, too, her whole thing is so weird because she's like this Canadian, you know, weird techno artist.
Music person, right.
Music person.
That's the nicest thing.
I believe
the
word is musician.
Interesting. Curious. I'll get back to you on that.
She's kind of been known as for being like a leftist and very, like, you know,
pro-union and like—
She just is like very anti-establishment is mm-hmm. how I will put it. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk, however, has like donated to Republican causes mm-hmm. and that type of thing. She defended that, saying mm-hmm. that all space programs have had to donate to Republicans at a certain point.
Right.
Here's what Grimes said to defend Elon. Mm. Every aerospace company has to donate to Republicans in order to function. In fact, most major companies across the board do, in some capacity. It's the price of doing business in America. E donates way more money, like absurdly more, to environmental causes. I don't think she's entirely wrong in that I do think most yeah. big corporations have probably donated to True. Republicans at certain points.
True.
And then she also said, literally tried to instigate a union vote so y'all would lay off.
Okay, thanks.
And then a few months ago, she said that Musk never prevented Tesla workers from unionizing, but she deleted that tweet.
Oh, boy.
I just love the Elon Musk grime memes. Keep them coming, everybody. Yeah.
It's a fun relationship. Who knows how long it will last? I don't think they're going to do a song together also.
Not anymore.
No, it seems like this weekend ruined any chance of that.
Dang. Another working relationship is destroyed.
This is a sad little item, but it's like cautiously optimistic. On Monday, it was reported that Aretha Franklin had fallen gravely ill, according—
She asked for everyone's prayers.
She asked for everyone's prayers. As of Tuesday, which is when this is being recorded, her family is saying that she is fine, that she's watching TV, that she's laughing. Like, don't worry about it.
I have something controversial to say.
Okay, I'm ready.
I don't really, like, worry that much about elderly people dying.
Mm.
I mean, I don't mean that in a way of, like, I don't give a shit.
No, totally.
But I mean, like, to me, it's like, when you shuffle from this mortal coil, mm-hmm. that's fine.
It's true.
You know, and it's like, what a great life lived.
Yeah.
I'm not hoping that Franklin dies.
Let's make that crystal clear.
I just have a hard time fretting over that.
Yeah.
And that goes, like, for my own grandparents, probably.
Sure.
Where it's not, like, again, it's not, I wouldn't be sad.
No, of course.
But I do think it's weird to see people be like, our world can't exist without this person.
Yeah. I mean, it will. It will be a great loss. She is an for many reasons. But, yeah, I get what you're saying.
I mean, like, what an insane legacy.
Yeah.
And we're, like, talking about her like she did die, but
right.
she didn't.
She's
still alive.
She is still alive.
And she's in my prayers.
And she is also in my prayers.
On Oops the Podcast, join me, comedian Giulio Gallerati, as I examine everyday life, the mistakes, the bad decisions, the goals, the jokes, the social engagements, and all things in between. I'm joined every week by producer and personal confidant Ryan Lynch, various other comedians, for witty, candid, and intoxicating conversation. Our listeners love Oops for sophisticated banter, aka your mom could listen, and many feel like they're in the room with us chopping it up with old pals. You can find every episode of the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube.
The Brad Pitt and Angelina divorce has been going on for what I feel is my entire life, but I think it's only been like 2 years.
Yeah, maybe a little bit less.
Yeah, it's getting messy.
I mean, it got messy real early on.
It was messy from the jump, but I think it sort of quieted down a little bit because they were both like, we want this to be like a private affair and like, we're not going to like do this thing where we do our divorce like in public. And then that went away because one of them switched divorce lawyers.
One of them?
There was a divorce lawyer change out. It was Laura Wasser.
Angie had Laura Wasser.
Yes. So she's got, I think she's got a new divorce lawyer. And this for some reason is making this entire thing become like a prolonged, messy, like, first page of, like, Us Weekly TMZ shit, like, every single day.
I mean, it was bound to be.
Yeah, there is no way this was going to be resolved quietly, I don't think.
Also, Laura Wasser quit.
Oh, she quit. She quit.
Which is saying something.
Yeah.
This is from Page Six.
Okay.
Jolie's filing this past week in Los Angeles Superior Court accused Pitt of being an alleged deadbeat dad, having paid no meaningful child support since their separation in 2016.
Cool.
Jolie is asking Brad to pay 50% of the children's expenses, claiming he has not paid his share. Pitt fired back in legal papers that he had, in fact, loaned Jolie $8 million to buy her new home and paid $1.3 million in bills for her and her kids.
Oh, my God.
Then a new lawyer for Jolie, Samantha Blay, Samantha Blay DeJean, sniffed in a statement, a loan is not child support, and to represent it as such is misleading and inaccurate.
I want to say, like, someone is going to have to, like, capitulate eventually and just agree. There's not, like, one central thing that they're arguing over. Necessarily.
Sounds like child support.
I mean, then someone just has to do it. It's bad for them. It's bad for their kids. I can't even be like riveted necessarily by like messy celebrity divorce shit because I just think it's like awful. Just like resolve it as quietly as humanly possible for the children.
Yeah, it's interesting from like a tabloid level because you can definitely see what tabloids are like being fed what by whose team.
Yeah, yeah,
where
totally.
I think
a media analysis level. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and like you can tell that like, I don't know, probably In Touch or, you know, that type of thing. A lot of them like clearly are getting stuff from Brad's team because a lot of the stuff is really pro-Brad. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see it kind of go the other way.
Right.
I don't know. There was that weird incident on the plane where Brad their eldest son, Maddox, like got into like a physical altercation.
Right.
And he's only, what, 14, 15
he's
years
like,
old?
Yeah, something like that.
And I don't know. I think what it came out was that basically Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie were getting really aggressive and
Maddox
had to, like, stepped in to feasibly protect his mother.
Right.
They're all weirdos. They're all fucking weirdos.
They are all weirdos. That's true.
I'll also say Angelina Jolie denies that Laura Wasser
quit.
Mm. This one headline just says, meet Laura Wasser, Angelina Jolie's A-list Jewish divorce lawyer.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you trying to like marry her off to somebody?
Laura Wasser, she's on the market. Here you go.
She like represents everyone.
Yeah, yeah. She's like the one you want.
She's probably the most famous divorce lawyer. In H-Wood.
That's what the pros call it, H-Wood.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it never was going to not be messy.
Yeah.
I think it started messy.
Yeah.
I think they're both way too high profile.
To keep this, like, under wraps in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, but apparently also their wine business is still booming.
That's the one positive. What is it? Miraval. They make an excellent rosé.
It's fine, yeah. They should just, like, reframe Succession next year to just be about, like, Miraval.
And this last item is just a nice thing that I didn't know about, but I will just share with everyone anyway. Ludacris, the rapper from Atlanta, and he's an actor now, kind of, also.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, the Fast and the Furious movies.
Oh, so you know I've never seen any of those.
Okay, I don't want to talk about it.
We can, okay. he's been buying people's groceries at Whole Foods for years.
So what does that mean?
The New York Times apparently reported on this. Ludacris just has a tendency to buy groceries for people that he's never met before at the Whole Foods. They source this by digging through some social media posts in which Ludacris is doing his own grocery shopping. And then when he's doing his grocery shopping there, he'll like buy groceries for people who also happen to be there. I think that's very nice of Ludacris. It's a little thin, but it seems like he has just been doing sort of quiet, altruistic acts just by, you know, being at a Whole Foods in Atlanta and then shopping like a regular and just buying the person next to him some shit.
That's deeply nice.
It's really nice. It's like one of the nicest things I can think of.
I do feel like if you're shopping at Whole Foods, though, like you can afford to shop at Whole Foods.
True.
Maybe you buy Whole Foods for like a community center.
I mean, there are ways to expand this.
I am not saying that I would say no.
No, certainly not.
To groceries from Ludacris. And I'm also not saying that it's not a lovely gesture.
Right. You're just saying like...
But I guess that's why it's like low key, right? It's just like a simple night. It's like buying coffee for the people behind you.
Exactly. It's not like, because then it is more, it's a more like, it's a more showy gesture to like, to buy en masse for like a community center
or this is more
whatever.
Like off of the top of the dome.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy that guy groceries.
Yeah. Like I'm here. I'm buying like arugula.
A random act of kindness.
A random act of kindness. That's what we're looking for. And that's what that is. And that is nice.
I mean, I've really liked Ludacris since his fight with Bill O'Reilly.
So yeah, that's a nice note to end this dirt sesh on. Do a random act of kindness.
Inspired
like
Ludacris. By Luda. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Even though he does have a song that goes, move, bitch, get out the way.
I mean, maybe that's like, hey, people who aren't buying other people groceries.
There you go. Move, because I am.
God,
excuse me.
That's crazy. My high school had, we did like a dance routine to that
I
in
love
like
that
a
song.
Gym. Oh. In like a gym class.
Oh, was the bitch bleeped?
It must have been.
Like, move.
I guess like the radio edit was like, move.
And then there's
get
like a
the
beat.
Way.
Yeah, that's what it was. It's a great song, very motivational, I find.
Get out the way, bitch, get out the way. Move, bitch, get out the way. Get out the way, bitch, get out the way.
I highly encourage everyone to spend the time that they spend after listening to this episode of Dirtcast to listening to the Ludacris.
When I move, you move. Just like that. When I move, you move. I can never get out of my head, though, the line. Watch out, my medallion, my diamonds are reckless. Looks like a midget is hanging from my necklace.
Oh, yeah, that's a good line.
Pretty crazy.
I have hoes in different area codes.
I've got hoes.
Like I remember it like being like a bummer that like our city's area code wasn't in.
Yeah.
It.
Oh, I think mine was, I think, when I lived in California it
the
was.
The closest was Milwaukee.
Oh, that's nice.
Maybe one day. Maybe one day, Madison, Wisconsin, you will have a hoe in that area
that's
code.
That's right.
So joining us today to discuss a topic that is near and dear to our hearts, our guts, our skin, our glands, kind of our every part of our body, because we're talking about gross medical reality shows, we have our very own Rich Juzwiak.
Yeah.
When I like suggested this as a topic, it was sort of just like, oh, like Dr. Pimple Popper mm-hmm. is finishing its first season. You guys have been recapping it.
True.
I am a fan. Yeah. Of her YouTube videos.
I see something under there. I'm just trying to slowly get it out of here. See if I can squeeze it out. I see something around one there.
So you can already see it?
Yeah. Well, it's not that deep. Thank goodness we don't have to go very far, but I'm going to just pull on you a little bit here.
So I was like, oh, it'll just be easy. And then I started actually like looking in kind of like when these shows started to really happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of fascinating because it's like sort of the very first one is Trauma, Life in the ER, which is a TLC show that started in 1997.
What? Do you guys got a syringe, please?
Some
summer's coming. We usually get a lot of problems in the summertime.
We need to get IVs.
And it ran until 2003, I want to say, or maybe it's still running. I don't know. That was kind of the first one, and that was just sort of about, like, trauma doctors in the ER. But
I remember, like, Operation footage being on before that, though. But
really?
I don't think it was, like, in a narrative context.
Yeah.
But I do remember seeing bodies being ripped open and rooted around
in a medical way.
In a medical way.
Let's clarify.
Right.
Okay, great.
Yeah. It's just crazy to me what it means for like our standards of what's appropriate and what's not appropriate.
Yeah.
Because you'll see something like botched where just bodies are being ripped open, stuffed and unstuffed, and then they show a woman and her nipples are blurred out.
Yeah,
you know? It's really fucking weird.
And it's like, and you think about like sort of the standards of PG-13 where like bloodless violence is fine. You know, even like in the new Jurassic Park movie, a guy gets his arm bitten off by a dinosaur, doesn't bleed, and that's acceptable.
So oh my PG-13. God.
Is he just like, ow?
He's like, oh,
yeah,
no,
basically. Yeah.
My arm.
Yeah. But so this, but up. Somehow this, what we see on Dr. Pimple Popper, et cetera, is acceptable on television.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay. And that's been okay. Like, I've always, because even, because obviously cable standards are different than broadcast standards.
Right.
But I, but back in the day, cable standards were sort of more in line. You wouldn't hear people say fuck like you do on FX now.
Right. And after 10 p.m.
Exactly.
Which is so jarring to me still.
It's so weird.
I'm
motherfucker.
Always
like, what? It's
like, what? Like, oh. It's very
it's wild. But
so
then
prim.
but this is something that's always been acceptable on TV or it has been since sort of the dawn of cable in my estimation. And I and you have to think if the body that's being operated or somehow irrigated were dead, it would be a different story too,
right?
Like you couldn't watch a corpse, you know.
You can watch
spew.
Like an autopsy or something.
There is a reality TV show that is that's like a medical examiner.
Oh, there is on
so
autopsies.
Bad.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I don't know what they show exactly.
Right.
To be.
You wouldn't
but
see
it does
a corpse
seem
like spewing like putrefaction.
Pus, right, exactly.
Pus.
And it does and that does seem to fall more in sort of the Mondo Faces of Death genre of things, which is very taboo in any sort of mainstream context. It's just funny. Just thinking about this, it just strikes me funny in terms of, like, what are the socially acceptable standards? And what does it even mean? Why is it okay to see this in this context but not that in this context? It's so bizarre.
I think about that all the time because there's an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians where Kris gets a neck lift.
Ugh.
And it's just like, I've, like, literally seen under Kris Jenner's face.
Oh, my God.
I've seen, like, under her skin. Like, that's how much they put themselves out there.
Yeah. You really shouldn't have to look at that.
No. I think it was our friend Tracy Egan Morrissey who described it as, oh, it looks like mac and cheese.
Oh, my fucking God. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
But it's like, it kind of seems like these shows really started rolling in the early aughts. So it's like early Bush years, end of the Clinton economy boom.
Okay.
There's kind of all of these shows that debut that are about plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first being Extreme Makeover, which was on ABC in 2007. And that show, at least as it started, tend to focus on people who had, like, abnormalities or things that were, like, actually making their lives difficult as opposed to just being like, you want to be fucking hot.
Yeah.
Right.
But it also was at the same time just like, you want to be fucking hot.
Right.
And then I don't know if you guys remember this, but there's, like, a very iconic episode of True Life.
Totally.
And it's I Want a Perfect Body, 2003.
Insane program.
Yeah.
Which is where a man got calf implants.
That's right.
Yes.
And it is one of the most disgusting things I've ever watched.
Yeah. The calf implant was disgusting.
It was, but also iconic.
I would say
totally.
So.
Yeah.
I think that
kind of made True Life in a way.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It's
where
one
that
of the first episodes that people just talked about and talked about.
That happened. Then The Swan debuted on Fox, which was, I don't know if you guys remember, hosted by Monica Lewinsky.
Monica Lewinsky hosted The Swan?
Yes.
Oh, my God. What a time we've lived.
Which
How
was like
are we still
so,
here?
So, like, kind of sad, but also like, yeah, I guess get paid. I don't know.
I mean, get a check.
To get some veneers stuffed into your mouth. They all had these insane chiclet veneers.
Piano keyed teeth, my favorite kind of tooth. One that you can see from three blocks away where you're like, oh my God, what's in there?
And I mean, that was one that had like winners.
The Swan
Well, it
was
had
so
a beauty pageant at the
end.
Yeah.
A lot of people talk about how gross that show is, but I don't know. It seems like a sort of logical conclusion given our society's objectives and ideals.
That is certainly holding up a mirror.
Totally.
Yeah. I'm down to Monica Lewinsky.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, like any beauty pageant, really. I mean, I don't think that that's like a breeding ground for iconoclasts, but I think that like those people learn certain skills that make sense in capitalism, as disgusting as capitalism is, you know?
I mean, preach.
Yeah, and also like something I think about that is that like, do you think that like The Ascent has anything to do with the idea that everybody can be beautiful or everybody is beautiful? You know, I feel like firstly, the thing about beauty, the most attractive thing about beauty, the most exceptional thing about beauty is, in fact, that it is exceptional, that it is rare.
Right, right.
So I take issue when I hear people talking about, like, everybody's beautiful or whatever, because, no, that's
well, like, the democratization of beauty doesn't sit right with you.
Actually, everyone has something beautiful about them.
Yes, that's exactly it, yes. Yeah. The idea isn't to make everybody beautiful. The idea is to prioritize different traits, like kindness and
empathy.
Yeah, empathy, like, intelligence.
Yes.
And these are things, by the way, that people are attracted to.
Yes, right. Totally.
People aren't strictly attracted to beauty. So it's about like sort of spreading the love that way and say that there is something beautiful in quotes about everybody. But certainly not every single person is going to be aesthetically beautiful. That would defeat the purpose of beauty.
Right. That's true. It's very like TLC, like you can buy some hair if it won't grow.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
thank you for that.
Do you think that The Ascent has to do with sort of that idea, the fact that like technology has made things slightly cheaper and easier to obtain?
I think one, plastic surgery has gotten so much better in the past 20 years.
Right.
But it kind of also ties into that capitalism thing where it's like, hey, you can buy beauty.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, it's like, if you don't have this naturally, like, that doesn't mean it's out of reach for you.
Right.
And also, I think that there is some, like, voyeuristic element, right, where, like, it's really easy to judge these people on television.
Yeah.
And you can be like, oh, that's so gross. Oh, that's this, that's that. Right. While at the same time still watching it and also, like, maybe even subconsciously comparing yourself, you know.
Like, Googling, like, breast lift.
Like, aspirational voyeurism.
Yeah.
In a way, where, like, it's not just a matter of, like, looking at beautiful people. It's understanding that you could be one of them, too.
Right.
If your ideals align with what theirs are in terms of beauty.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, I mean, I think it probably has something to do, when we talk about democratization, it's like the way that the internet gives common people a chance to be famous in a way.
Right.
I think like in the 2000s, things changed where people who weren't celebrities or somehow like American royalty were able to get closer to being that because of technology and the information age. And, you know, I think this probably falls in line with that too.
Yeah, I agree. The beginning, how like it started mostly with shows that were like based on like emergency situations.
Yeah.
Like, I do wonder if a part of that is just because ER was just the most successful show that it was just like,
no,
all
totally.
Right, why don't we just have a reality show about that?
Right.
But there's one clip I want to talk about from the show Untold Stories of the ER, and it was on TLC back when TLC like could still technically call itself the Learning Channel.
Oh, I love TLC.
I mean, I learned from Dr. Pimple Popper.
I've learned a lot of stuff.
The triangle of death.
The difference between a cyst and lipoma.
Yeah, I can now identify things on my body that I think may or may not. Like a zit on my chin is definitely a cyst.
Right.
If it's there, it's not a lipoma.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I will know what it looks like if I pop it. Like, it's nice. It's been helpful.
Yeah, neurofibromatosis
you
know, is part of my vocabulary. You're right, exactly.
You have to get the sack out. Yeah.
I learn all sorts of foods that these things are compared to.
Yeah.
Oatmeal being, like, the number one. Yeah, ricotta.
It's been really harsh.
Also, for people who don't know, the triangle of death is the area kind of between your eyebrows and nose.
Yes.
And basically because it's so close to so many, like, blood vessels and that type of thing.
Right, and
it
nerves.
It can get infected fairly easily. It just goes straight to your brain.
Yep.
So be careful when fucking with your... Be careful with that.
We'll be right back.
if like the world has gotten actually more dystopian, but it has kind of become more of a parody of dystopia.
Right.
It's like a TV show about dystopia, the world.
Well, did you see Sorry to Bother You?
Yeah.
There's like the reality TV show that's just like, get punched in the face.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I love
and, like,
that.
And this is kind of, it gets, you know, that doesn't even really feel like a parody right now. Especially as you like have people actually having their noses broken by doctors on
to,
television.
Like, get fixed.
There was one show on MTV called I Want a Famous Face.
Oh my
face,
God.
And
yeah.
It just was
that
people.
That was crazy.
That show was fucked up.
Today, I'm going for the surgery. From this day forward, we're going to look a lot more like Elvis.
Get my chin done, face peel, Botox, or getting lip, not implants, but some fat peeling lips, get those pouty lips going. I'm nervous about my lip. I can't do my lip, man. I'm in trouble.
And it never looked right either.
Jennifer like, Lopez looks like Jennifer Lopez.
Right.
You're never going to look like Jennifer Lopez.
Beyonce looks like Beyonce, like so on and so forth.
Even they got that through their own like nips and tucks.
Yeah.
So it's sort of.
You're better off just contouring, I think.
I agree, Rich.
Yeah. Also because like the standard of beauty evolves.
Right.
Where it's, I don't know. I think about like, what if we had all gotten our eyebrows lasered off in the early 2000s?
I mean, it's right. Like how plastics are like a lot of like Instagram models and shit look just like the Kardashians because like Kardashian face is now a thing, but it's like a weird mix up of like random features that don't even like it's there's a big distance between Kim's regular face, Kim's birth face and her now face. And
then she should have stopped at her Chris Humphries face.
Right.
I agree.
The way that we interface with plastic surgery itself has changed, which is it used to sort of aspire to this standard of beauty, but now I think the very obvious plastic surgery is like a status symbol in itself,
yes.
And that has become a standard of beauty.
Right.
Like Cat Lady. What's
exactly.
Her name?
Jocelyn Wilde. Thank
her.
Yes, yes.
I
who
love
is
her
obviously
so
the
much.
Most beautiful person in the
she
world.
Is,
we're talking
to
about
me,
beauty standards.
She is. I love Jocelyn.
I mean, she's amazing.
Incredible.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's no longer taboo.
Yeah,
basically.
Right. Totally.
It's actually like its own sort of status symbol. I think.
Yeah, like, oh, I got my cheekbones done. You can tell.
Well, and plus there's now kind of this thing where
it's like
anything is empowering. So it's like, yeah, girl, buy your fake tits.
Yeah,
right. You go.
Right. Get those double E's. Like, okay, but like, I don't.
In a way, I'm like, yeah, do it if you want to. I don't know.
Do it if you want to.
Sure, yeah.
Do it if you want to.
I don't have a problem. People do whatever. Wait, but Maddie, were you going to tell a story, one of the untold stories of the ER?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fabulous.
So untold stories of the ER was stories with real doctors that included reenactments. And so oftentimes, like, the doctors would be acting in the reenactments and doctors aren't actors. And you could argue that a lot of reenactors aren't actors.
Right.
One of the clips I found while looking at the show was of a woman who came in with a stiletto lodged in her cheek.
What?
But it's they like clearly don't have the real footage. So they have this actress with a stiletto like lodged into like silicone that's clearly been wrapped around her face. She's like flirting with the doctor. She's really drunk and she's like, hey, doctor.
This was a first.
If you want some of this, you're gonna have to pay.
As I said earlier, it's important not to get distracted by the chaos.
Hey, Doc, it's looking good.
And then the doctor is also acting, and he's just so stupid because he's like, oh, hey there, Cinderella.
So, who's the Cinderella? You have a slipper in your cheek.
Oh, Crystal. Bitch stole one of my regulars.
Then, of course, we get into I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, also a TLC show.
Oh, my Lord. I've never watched. I can't. That's too depressing for me.
Babies falling out of you at random times.
And I just felt this burst. Like this sudden, like, gush. And then I felt something, like, go down my leg. It just felt slimy and gross and, like, goo. I thought that was my appendix that just burst. Until I kind of felt something move down next to my leg. I could hear like a little tiny noise. I just was in shock.
And she looks at me, her eyes are as big as saucers. I'll never forget the look on her face.
I think I just had a baby.
And she's got the stunned look on her face.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
There was no pushing, there was nothing. I just heard this tiny, itty-bitty, mousy cry.
And she pulled back the towel. I looked down and there was a baby in my sweatpants.
Sometimes, like, I feel like I've met people who've had, like, really weird stories like this where, like, you think there's no way and then you talk to someone reasonable who's like, no, I didn't know I was pregnant.
That's nuts.
Well, it's to me, a strange thing. If you're having a baby in the toilet, that seems like a really easy childbirth. So if you want to have kids anyway, maybe like there's some sort of Jedi mind tricks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear these horror stories about 48 hours of childbirth. And then I went and took a pee. And
then I also had a baby.
That seems like the way to go if you want a baby at some point.
Yeah, because you do get to pick.
Right.
Yeah, it's a choice.
Yeah, so. I love
sign me up for that, even though.
My favorite are the women who are like, I just thought I really had to poop. It's like, you don't poop out of your vagina.
You don't poop out of your, for those
maybe
listening.
Maybe
they
do.
Yeah, I do.
I haven't seen everybody.
That's a special television program if you do poop out of your vagina.
Everybody is beautiful.
Has yet to be covered.
I'd love to see. Yeah. Your pooping vagina is beautiful.
My friends had a little cat in college who we nicknamed Poopy Pants that they had to put down because she did indeed poop out of her vagina.
What?
Yeah, she didn't have a butthole.
Why?
I don't. It was like a birth. She was like the runt. It was like a defect.
Was it a birth defect?
Yeah, or something was fucked up. But like, she was super cute, and they had to put her down. It was very sad.
How old was she when she had to be put down?
I don't like a
how
kid,
many
like
years of
under a year.
Okay.
Under a year. No, they were. It was very. It became very evident that this was like not a tenable situation for the cat or for my like four friends who were seniors in college. It was a mess. Anyway, we don't need to keep the poopy pants part in. It was just very upsetting.
More upsetting than anything I've seen on Dr. Pimple Popper.
It was truly
this image
awful.
In my head of a pooping cat vagina.
It was really, you know what? And she would like go to the
really
litter
bad.
Box.
I can't get it out of my head.
She would try so hard. Like, it was really.
I feel like I'm not going to be able to unsee that.
I know.
Ever.
Rich, I saw them on the way to putting her down. They were also, everyone was crying. The cat was like meowing. It was just,
was she pooping out of her vagina?
They had like a diaper situation that was just like, again, not tenable for like four, like, 21-year-olds trying to, like, make it to senior year in any case.
Special needs, and then there's a pooping vagina.
Yeah, she got to go. Poopy, R.I.P. Poopy Pants. I still think of you.
I don't know.
Sweet cat. Levi's, like, weeping. Please remove this anecdote about the cat unless you think it's
good. Please.
I don't know who knows. It's like the episode of Flavor of Love where the woman poops on the steps and how VH1 wanted them to edit it out.
Yeah.
And they're like, we can't because it's all anyone talks about.
Right. That's true. That is true. I do like that lots of these shows, for the most part, aside from like the few blips on like network TV in the early 2000s, they've all been on TLC. And I love how TLC has just pivoted to like this weird sort of like bodily and emotional horrors. But then at the end of each episode, you somehow feel uplifted. Like that's what I like about Dr. Pimple Popper, because everything about Dr. Pimple Popper before the end makes me want to throw up. But, like, it always ends on a hopeful note. Have we seen one that has not ended on an uplifting note?
I mean, you know, the woman with neurofibromatosis.
With the...
Yeah, she had like, bumps all over.
All over,
you know,
her
not
body.
And they weren't pimples. These are like skin.
They look like skin, like big skin tags, kind of, but like rounder.
And I mean, just like
every
hundreds.
Surface of her body.
I mean, she claimed to be very happy with the work that was done, which required them to be literally snipped off with scissors, which was unbelievable.
It was nuts.
But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that she felt better.
Me too.
It didn't really make that much of a difference, I thought, because she just had so many, and how are you going to get them off everywhere?
Every surface.
I mean, everywhere.
Like, we didn't see under the clothes, but one can only assume.
Have you ever seen the ones where she's able to, like, take the full cyst out without breaking it? It's
no.
Amazing.
No.
It's less gross.
I don't know. I feel very
it's like
sensitive.
there's no pop. She's, like, able to just completely, like, remove it.
Does it come out like a little egg? Like a little jiggly sort of?
Like a soft-boiled egg.
Like Magneto or something, but with pus.
Like Magneto, but with pus.
That's exactly what it's like. That's great.
This kind of actually brings me to another discussion point, which is like, what is like our ethical standards for watching these things? Because TLC, as we're talking, I'm realizing like it has replaced freak shows, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Yes. Where it's just like very much like circus.
I mean, that's totally what My Strange Addiction was.
Oh, God.
I was obsessed with that show.
That show was good, unfortunately. It was
unbelievable.
Quite good.
That's just like about people who just like eat mattress foam or whatever.
Cat treats. Drywall.
Any bleach,
gasoline.
Paper towels, not bleach. Gasoline.
There was a woman who stung herself with bees all the time.
Yeah.
She was incredible.
Was it Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
It was. Early, it was
to make herself beautiful.
Early yeah. GP.
I mean, you know, everybody has their way.
That is an actual, that's a goop thing.
I know, yeah, bee sting therapy for something, I don't know why.
No, it was like a fraction of an orgasm for her.
Ugh.
She loved it.
Good for her.
I sting myself on my hip, my elbow, on a finger, on my ankle, my forehead, on the tip of my nose. The most I've ever given myself was between 15 and 20 in my left hip. I really love stinging myself with bees.
Botch definitely is a show that's like made it come full circle in a way. Where it's
totally.
It started off these plastic surgery shows of like, get these honking cans or whatever. And then now this is sort of like,
the reality.
I don't want these cans.
Like, you are like, yeah, they got fucked up.
Yeah,
yeah, like, oh right. My God, your ass injections look like are not great. Let's yeah. remove those.
That cement in your face yeah. is just pile it up, and now it's
now I need to remove it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what was the one? I've only seen a couple of episodes of Botch, but I did watch the clip where Detox from Drag Race goes to get her ab implants taken out.
The one thing that I regret the most doing is my six pack. They're not perfectly parallel. They look very uneven. Getting recognized everywhere, there's definitely a little bit of fame. I don't like to say that I'm famous. I am definitely gamous. What's the world gonna think? Because they're very critical. They all have a very strong opinion. And I was like, well, I don't want to have to like sit and read nasty comments all the time about how gross my abs are. They always have to feel like I'm covered up. I always have to have some kind of like a corset or a girdle to kind of smooth everything out because I don't want people to see those weird lumps.
One question to give this episode just the slightest bit of cohesion.
Yeah, I love that. What's up?
Do you feel like these shows have made you more comfortable with medical procedures or more grossed out by them?
I think I'm more comfortable with them. I have a very weak stomach for like gore, like anything like body like that. So I feel a little better. Just like watching Dr. Pimple Popper has made me feel slightly less like grossed out by. Like, I could watch one of her YouTube videos now without yeah. wanting to barf as much as
but
I normally
she's like
do.
So she's so pleasant.
Yeah, she's yeah. really calm. Really she's is. Really nice.
She seems like a good person.
She does. Yeah.
I feel like I've learned a lot about dermatology where I'm like, oh, people get blackheads more on the left side of their face because they're driving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, sun exposure.
Oh.
Or if you, like, are usually in the passenger seat, you'll get it on the right.
Wow.
I also feel like it's made me slightly more comfortable with it. I used to watch the show The Nick to like calm down because yeah. it felt really like it's so orderly.
Right.
That's but about the doctor.
It's like about like yeah. the advent of surgery.
Oh wow. Soderbergh. Okay, I'm not gonna watch that.
It's a very darkly lit show.
Right.
Like everything like you're like
squinting.
but yeah, like I would like watch that show because one, it was all fake, so it was just like
right.
very convincing. But yeah. it was just like,
but
oh.
you know it's fake, right?
Yeah, and I really liked. Like, I found that very relaxing.
That's nice.
And I would like to say that normal surgery relaxes me, but it does not.
No,
it doesn't relax me.
I feel very tense throughout the entire, every time I'm watching.
But then when it's over, you feel this glow where it's like, oh, I made it through. It's like a workout, really.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Like a really hard workout that's always hard to do, never
yes,
gets easier.
Yes.
And then at the end, you just feel so good because you made it through.
Yeah, you're just like, wow, I'm really just shining.
Yeah, exactly.
Glowing.
Yeah.
From this surgery I did not have to participate in any way.
I feel very happy after our Thursday morning pimple popper episodes are over. But inspired, which is how I want to feel every day. Queasy, but inspired.
Yep.
Well, cool, guys.
Yeah.
I feel like we did not come down on any side, but I think that's just life. That's
nature.
Just approaching
exactly.
the world
it's
as
the nature of the beast. Yeah.
My side is pro pimple popper, though.
Same.
I think we're all pro pimple popper here.
Rich, this has been, as always, a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank
pleasure
you for coming
me.
On all the time.
Thank you so much for listening to Dirtcast, and thank you to Rich Jesuiak. Our show is produced by Levi Sharp. Majdana Mofidi is our executive director of audio. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood. This episode was mixed by Jamie Colazzo. If you want to send us a tip or just let us know what you think, hit us up at dirtcast@jezebel.com. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.